I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes. You can stand up or sit down. That's fine. You'll get to stand up again. A little exercise in church this morning. I cannot tell you how interesting it is that I drew the straw to preach this morning about wisdom and finances. Now, if you know me at all, you and my husband does, money, numbers, math, is just my weak suit. In school, the one subject I did really, really bad in was math, consistently. So I really can't, I'm looking at you, Mike Lemer, this is like, you're really good in math. And you're probably really good in finances. So talk to him about the number part. But what I know about is what happens to us sometimes with finances, and that's when we get lost in it. And I can talk about that. There's some real wisdom that we need to pay attention to that we don't get utterly and completely lost in financial issues. And that's what our scripture is about this morning. So now, if you will stand, let's listen. In the 15th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 11th verse, of a really interesting story that could be you or me. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between his sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed his pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." May God add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this, his word. Amen. Seated. I was really serious about the finances part of this. In fact, yesterday, I don't know if you're aware that we have actually, I guess it was Thursday, Kevin, we began the Facebook page for First United Methodist Church. And some of you have already joined. Yes, join. I put out kind of a plea, a last-minute plea. Any wisdom on finances? This is, you know, your chance. Unfortunately, nobody yet responded. But I'm really serious about that. Respond. So after the service, you may want to give us some thoughts. Give me some thoughts about what gets kicked up for you today on our First United Methodist Facebook page. You know, what happens in this story is that this boy got lost. He just got lost. There wasn't anything wrong in his having received an inheritance. Not all of us get an inheritance. Some of us do. That's not a bad thing, but it's what we do with it. And what happened to this lost son is he did get lost. I'm just curious. How many of you, and I'm going to move this, Bob, we'll put it up here and see. I won't be able to walk too far. How many of you have had a child that has gone off from your home to college, to work? Just raise your hands. All right. Now, how many of you were a child that left home? So you see, pretty much all of us. Or how many of you are going to be a child to leave home? It covers all of us. When we are a parent and our child is getting ready to leave, we hope and pray that we have given them enough of a foundation that's going to stead them in college or in the workplace, in the services, in the world. And if we have been attentive their whole life to undergirding them with a foundation, we can be pretty secure that we really have done our part, but we don't know what they're going to do with it. And the reality is all of us receive some kind of inheritance, some kind of foundation to live life. And some of us receive a foundation that's more significant than others. Now, here's the good news. If you grew up in a family and you didn't really receive a lot of foundation, a lot of instruction, it is not too late. There is this wonderful book. And there are a lot of people who will help you continue to learn and to grow in your understandings in life. What happened with the lost son is he, I think, had probably gotten guidance. I'm sure he had. But he stopped receiving it. That was his choice. And he took his inheritance and he cut himself off from guidance. He went to a foreign country. Now, they didn't have cell phones, but my hunch is if they did, he probably continued to cut himself off from that which could undergird him. Now, we know in this scripture that this is more than a story about a human father and a human son. We know it's also a parable about our relationship with our Creator, our God. And isn't that sometimes what happens to us? We cut ourselves off from that Creator who's invested in us, taken care of us, loved us, would guide us, but we cut ourselves off. So this morning I want to look a little bit at how do we keep from getting so lost. And the first thing we have to do is get real honest with ourselves about our rebelliousness. We just have to look at what have I done, what am I doing with the resources, with the guidance that was given to me through my church, through my community, through my parents, through my teachers. So I want to play a little game with you for a minute. And this is called, what do you remember about guidance that has been given to you? So I'm going to start a phrase, and I want you to just finish it, if you can. A penny saved is a... See, you got it. The early bird gets the... You know it. Well, what do you think? That money grows on... Your eyes are bigger than your... Somebody over here has got it real... Who was that? That's you. That's you, Heather. Heather, you may have heard this one then. As long as you live in this house, you will follow... All right. I was going to say, now here's one of my favorites, and I have to actually use this. I don't know if you've heard it, but I will walk into a child's room, which is an absolute disaster, or the door has been left wide open, and I've said this. What do you think? Do you live in a... Oh, we had a couple different responses. Barn. What else?
Pigsty.
Pigsty barn. Pigsty. That kind of works with this story, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Benjamin Franklin. Well, Mike, you had one. What was the one? Do you remember what?
Yes, when you were not behaving well, Dad would come to the stairway and say, "Don't make me come up there."
There you sit. Sarah? Yeah. I lived in a one level. I never heard of the... Benjamin Franklin. I mean, this goes way back. Benjamin Franklin. And we actually had a couple of his. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man. You got it. To lengthen thy life. This is a Benjamin Franklin. This is a good... To lengthen thy life, lessen thy meals. Isn't that interesting? Oh, yeah. They were worried about weight issues way back. Ernie Zimmerman, I heard this verse from you. I didn't know Benjamin Franklin said it. He that lies down with dogs shall get up with fleas. That's right. That's right. I did. I heard that verse from you. I love this one. This is a Benjamin Franklin. Who is wise? He that learns from everyone. Who is powerful? He that governs his passions. Who is rich? He that is content. That's part of what we're to teach our children. Our scriptures are also full of how we are to raise our children. So if we're going to not get lost, number one, we got to admit we got this rebellious nature. We're going to stray from what we even know we ought to be doing. We need to also get really, really honest with ourselves about what the scripture says we do with what we're given. And in this text, we learn that the younger son took what he had been given and he squandered his resources. He squandered his inheritance. Now, that's an interesting word, squander. I just kind of like to say it. Looking it up, this is what it means. Now, this was used, this is a translation of a word that was used way back when. Listen to what it means in light of who we are today. Squander means consume, lavish, misuse, throw away, fritter away, waste. Does that sound familiar? Now, how do we, you and me today, squander what we have been given? Well, we squander when we become wasteful, when we're extravagant, when we consistently spend more than we make. Consistently. When our priorities get confused. When we buy things to make us feel good. When impulse spending replaces thoughtful spending. Now, a rebellious part of us wants to take our resources and just spend it on me and forget what we have been told. One of the things that I want to talk to us about today and how we deal with this has to do with the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Hear that, a spiritual discipline of simplicity. Any time that you and I simplify our lives, we open up room for God. Part of simplification is knowing whose we are. Now, that's pretty simple. Whose are you? Now, we have a lot of different mothers and fathers, but really, who created you? Tell me. God. That's right, Aiden. God. We are God's. I really believe we're on loan to children. We have some children who are going to be baptized after a while, and they've been loaned to these parents. We're created by God. And in created by God, we've been studying this as a church the last couple of years. We're created to have purpose. And part of simplification and the discipline of simplification, of simplifying our lives, is understanding what our purpose is. And it makes a huge difference when we know whose we are and when we know what our life's mission is about. It makes an enormous difference in how we use our resources. For example, if our life's purpose really is to have nice things, to have a beautiful house, a manicured yard, and that's our purpose, that's where we put our energy to, and that's where we put our resources to, that's what our money will support. If our life's purpose is to make ourselves feel good above all else, to look really good, that's where we're going to put our money. I was telling them at the first service, Friday, I was home. It was my day off, and Jim and I had worked out in the yard, and we'd done some things, and I went inside, and I turned on a TV show. I'm not sure I've ever seen a full one of these shows before, but it was Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil was, the whole show was on teenagers and plastic surgery. There were three girls. Two of the girls wanted plastic surgery. One had actually already had upper anatomy enhancements, and she wanted more. The other girl hadn't had it yet, but she knew what she wanted, and these girls were 16 years old, and they were cute as button. I mean, they were beautiful young girls. The third girl did not want plastic surgery, but her mother wanted it for her. And this may have been the most interesting one of all to me, because this mom was talking about why she wanted plastic surgery for her daughter. She wanted her breast up, her rear end in, and she wanted her to start Botox surgery because she was starting to get crow's feet. 16 years old. What are we teaching our kids? But if that is the thrust of what is important to us, that is where we're putting our money. There's a scripture about this, isn't there? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your heart is, that inside part that Mike was talking about, that's where our financial pieces will be. So, if we understand our purpose, if we can step back and realize that our life has a larger, higher purpose, a purpose that is outside of us just feeling good, then we focus our energies, and I'm going to tell you, we don't get lost, because it gets to be a dead end when we try to make ourselves look better and better and be happier and do more and more fun things, and it's a bottomless pit. To practice a spiritual discipline of simplicity is to understand whose we are and what our purpose is. Have you ever noticed on Sunday mornings, often I'll do a scripture verse, and I've done it so much, I know you can do it with me. We're just going to do it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It centers us. I didn't make this day. You didn't make this day. God made this day. And when we get that and understand it on the inside, our lives are different. Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline. And one of the disciplines he talks about is what I'm speaking of this morning, simplicity. And he says there are three internal attitudes that we absolutely must have, and there are some external practices, that inside the house, the outside of the house, the inside of the house, is we need to receive what we have as a gift from God. We have to understand that though we work, we truly live by the grace of God alone. He's a supplier of what we have. He says that we need to understand that we are to care, to take care of what we've been given, but understand that it is God who's the ultimate provider and protector. So we're not to squander what we've been given, but to understand it's God who creates us, it's God who heals, it is God who redeems, it's God that we trust. When our kids go off to school or to work or to marry, we're not going with them, but God is. God is. When we understand that internally, it makes a difference. The third attitude of the heart that he talks about is to have our possessions available to others. Because after all, what we have, it's not ours to hold on to. It's to share. And if we cling and we hold on to what we have in this vicious attempt to make more and more and more and more, we lose a grip in God. We gain a grip in stuff, but we lose our grip in God. So we simplify by not complicating our lives with stuff. And that's the external. When I was preparing this sermon, I came across this book by Richard Foster that I spoke of. And he talks in the external, on the outside of our house, with 10 very simple practices that we can follow. And I just want to share them with you. He said, one thing we can do is we buy things for their usefulness rather than for their status. So it's like, stop trying to impress people with your stuff, but be God's light in their lives. Second thing he says is reject anything, purchasing anything, that is producing an addiction in you. Third thing he says is develop a habit of giving things away. Don't accumulate, deaccumulate. Eric, there's a whole lot of room over at Mission Central to share. Last week when Mike was preaching and he talked about one of the growing businesses is this self-storage units, because we have so much stuff we can't fit it in our house, and so we fit it in storage units. We need to practice this art of simplification. I was thinking, actually, this really has been impacting on me. I have a lot of books. I buy more books than I think anything else. And I love my books. Two Sunday nights ago, I heard Timby talk about what she grew up with in Malawi with no books. Last Sunday night, I heard Steve Trace and Janelle Geis talk about the excitement of the children who walked miles and stood hours not to get a book, but to touch a book. I'm going to share my library. What's it doing in my basement? We need to declutter. We need to develop a habit of giving things away that can be useful for others. Fourthly, refuse to be lured into the need for gadgets and the new everything. Well, hello. Who am I? Whose feet am I stepping on in this one? Part of that is resisting impulse spending. Now, I got to tell you, this is a hard one for me. And in preparation this week, I'm preparing this sermon, and I caught myself. I went to the store literally to get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. With on-sale stuff, that's around $4. I came home with about $40 worth of purchases because I saw some chips that were on sale. And I read, do I need chips? No, but they were on sale. And sales kind of get me in this impulse spending. Well, then I needed a dip. And there was that gallon of ice cream. I mean, we're already going. There were these beautiful flowers. I love flowers. Now, if I had known there were all the flowers here, I could have just come and taken some down there. I wouldn't do that. But you see how this goes. And finally, I'm in line, in the checkout line, and I see this really neat magazine, people. And I don't, and I wanted to buy it. $40. Impulse spending. Will I use it? Well, not all of it. Jim's going to eat the chips. I'll eat the chips. But that's what we do. Simplify. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. Marge and Dick Snyder, driving. We spent some time in the car yesterday to come back from Lynn and Ken Rapp's funeral, or the funeral of his mother. And you guys were talking about last summer's vacation in this cabin with no phones, water, running, a creek in the front yard. I watched you two light up. Dick, I haven't seen you that excited. I've seen you excited, but it was a memory. It was a wonderful experience. Simplicity. You don't own that cabin. You're not making plans to buy that cabin. We don't have to own everything. But experiencing things, you can't put a price tag on. Now think about it like this. I got to walk. Think about it like this. When you think about your children, can you remember those of you who've birthed babies? That first cry? Can you remember those of you who are present? That little face? Can you remember when you stood at the altar and joined the church, what that felt like? Can you remember baptizing your babies here, what that felt like? Taking your vows of marriage, what that felt like? Huh. Can you remember the smell of the hair of your children when they were little and you just bathed them? We don't have to own everything. We don't have to have huge... Now, I like scrapbooking. I don't have time for it. But the point is, we can get too much. We can try to own too much and miss the experience. Part of simplification is learning to enjoy things without owning them. Develop a deeper appreciation for creation. Simplicity means to discover once again that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Look with healthy skepticism at all those buy now, pay later schemes. We got to be cautious about incurring debt. All of us have to incur debt. We incur debt. But we don't need to pay out more consistently than we're bringing in. Obey Jesus' instructions about plain, honest speech. Simplify. Lying gets us in trouble, guys. Reject anything that breeds the oppression of others. And lastly, shun anything that distracts you from what should be your main goal, my main goal, which is to seek first the kingdom of God. In a world of complications, proliferation of stuff, lost children, lost adults, lost people, practicing the spiritual discipline a simplicity is huge. May you and I go to practice this discipline, to teach our children, to pray for our children, but to simplify as God would have us simplify to the basics of what truly is valuable and meaningful in this our only journey on this earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.